The following is a recording for Maria Barona from iAdvise on Wednesday, February 25th, 2015 at 9 a.m. Central. Gentera Fourth Quarter 2014 Conference Call. Good morning. My name is Josh, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Gentera Fourth Quarter 2014 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Barrera Flores, Investor Relations Officer for Gentera. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Presenting today from Gentera is our management team, Mr. Carlos Danel, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Enrique Mayor, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, Patricio Diaz, Chief Financial Officer, as well as myself, Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on the forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in the company's quarterly report, which was issued yesterday. To receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Thank you for your kind attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danel, who will begin the presentation with a discussion of Gentera results. Carlos, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our fourth quarter 2014 conference call. And as always, thank you for your continued interest in Gentera. As we wrap up the results for 2014 and gear up for 2015, we're proud to share our achievements for the last quarter in our efforts to eradicate financial exclusion. While deploying a multi-product and multi-country strategy, the story of Gentera remains a story of sustained growth and quality. However, not all products and not all geographies contributed equally this past year. Growth of our portfolio for the year 2014 was 15.7%, which fell slightly short of our guidance for the year 2014, which was 17% in the lower range. Product-wise, the group lending products drew most of that growth, mainly through Crédito Comerciante and Crédito Crece y Mejora products. Specifically in Peru, we saw growth of over 80% in our group lending clients, which drove the 18% portfolio growth there. However, Guatemala had a lackluster growth year in the group lending products, which are the only products they offer so far, as a result of quality issues locally, which required us to stop growth and focus on regaining quality to assure future growth. The end result was that the number of clients in Guatemala decreased 8%, and NPL came back from a high of 7% to 4.9% at the end of the year. Similarly, individual lending for Gentera in 2014 fell short of its growth target because of quality issues during the year we have detailed in past calls. This meant that through the year, the number of individual lending clients also fell, but we improved credit quality significantly, coming back from a high of 8% to 3.5% by the end of the year. As we have mentioned in the past, Gentera is deeply committed to growth, but growth requires quality. Our fourth quarter 14 NPL stood at 3.28%, which is at the lower end of our guided 4-6% range. This is what Enrique has referred to in the past as the growth and control cycle. I will let him provide additional details on these cycles, but let me end this topic by pointing to the fact that growth for 2015 will again involve using both engines, group and individual lending, like we did in 2013, and which proved to find great demand in every market that we serve. The other strong story of 2014 for Gentera has been cost control. A series of significant investments we have implemented in years past are starting to pay off. While for a couple of years back, our costs tended to outpace our income, in 2014, our income and costs grew closer to an equal pace. This points to an inflection point where potential future efficiencies might materialize, not as much as decrease in total cost, but as faster growth in top line. Most notably, the total number of staff for Gentera slightly decreased in 2014, which is the first in the history of our company. This is the product of consolidating part of our sales force for a multi-product approach, but also the restructuring of our shared service model to gain efficiencies and automate some of our back office processes. Growth in portfolio and cost control allowed in 2014 to have a significant growth in net earnings for the year. Year-on-year earnings grew by an impressive 39%. However, part of that growth, as was pointed out in our last quarter results, was a one-time tax benefit related to a historical loan loss reserve. After adjusting for this one-off income, our net earnings grew by a healthy 16%, which was in the high range of our guidance for the year. In the end, with a tax benefit, return on equity stood at 29% for 2014 and return on assets at 11%. Both very strong figures in our commitment to provide over-average profitability to our investors and to help build financial inclusion industry in all the markets that we serve. We continue to be, by growth, by quality, and by profitability, the leaders in every market we serve. I will end my results by pointing out that Yastas, the company's correspondent network manager, reached a total of 2,000 affiliates during this quarter versus 1,721 in the prior quarter. Now, these affiliates are approved to execute financial transactions by the National Banking and Securities Commission. But the main achievement was that we closed the year with more than 260,000 financial transactions throughout our network. The addition of financial transactions is key to our ability to offer massive saving services to our clients, a goal we're committed to achieve in the medium term to better serve our clients and to offer them the preeminent financial inclusion product, which is savings. We also continue to be very active into developing and investing in our innovation portfolio. We have continued to both experiment and learn about many innovative ideas that will, in the medium to long term, transform what we do into the digital economy. A lot of these experiments are in the early stages, but we are fully aware that we need to evolve and implement what works in order to build the next business model to deliver our services. In the future, our financial services will increasingly be delivered digitally and using mobile devices. As these innovations take hold in our operations, we will share the lessons and become even more competitive for our future. One of the investments in that innovation portfolio is Intermex, a leading remittance provider in Mexico. Last quarter, we announced our intention of acquiring 100% of the shares of Intermex, and as of now, we are at the final stages of receiving the regulatory approvals to move ahead. We expect this to happen late in the first quarter of 2015, and we'll communicate when that deal is closed. And finally, I want to share that in yesterday's board meeting, the board agreed to propose to the shareholders meeting to be held in April the approval of a dividend payment of 76 cents per share to be paid in May of this year. This is consistent with our standing dividend policy of paying out 40% of prior year's earnings. We are excited about 2015 and the plans that we have ahead. We will continue implementing our strategy of becoming a multi-product, multi-country to eradicate financial exclusion. We expect our portfolio to grow between 15 and 17%, and EPS of the year we expect to be between 1.87 and 1.92 pesos a share. Thank you for your attention. I will now turn the call over to Enrique Mayos to review the performance of our financial services affiliates.
Thank you, Carlos. And thank you all again for your interest in Gentera results. Once again, we are proud to deliver results in line with our expectations. I would like to take you through the main business indicators in order to evaluate 2014 results, and afterwards, I will briefly go through our expectations for 2015. On a year-on-year basis, total portfolio for Compartamos operations among the three countries, Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, grew 15.7%, with similar percentages in the three markets, but with different strategies and conditions in each one. Mexico, with an increase of 15.3%, continues growing based on its group lending segment potential. Guatemala, with an increase of 16.7%, is confirming the high potential that group lending methodology has in that market, based on the need of this product among the customers of the low-end microcredit segment. With 17.9% increased portfolio, Peru is growing in the individual lending methodology as well as in the group lending segment. Our strategy of bringing our group lending expertise to other latitudes has been quite successful. At this point, and after less than 4 years, we have reached 79,000 group lending customers in Peru and 62,000 customers in Guatemala with Crédito Mujer product. While we ended last year slightly below our 17% guide portfolio in growth for the year, our net margin before taxes increased by 18%. This can be explained because of two main factors. On one hand, we achieved a better portfolio quality than expected during the year, which implied savings on reserve expenses by 360 million pesos. We also accomplished important efficiencies in our sales force. By integrating loan officer teams for Crédito Mujer and Crédito Crece y Mejora into one single sales force, we were able to reduce our total FTE by over 1,200 people and 143 million pesos. Let me also elaborate on the reasons that explain the difference in portfolio growth versus our guide. On one hand, as you remember, during the first quarter of the year, our portfolio quality for Credit Individual, our individual lending product in Mexico, reached NPLs higher than expected. A portfolio control strategy was successfully implemented, and we accomplished a relevant reduction of the NPLs during the year. From 8.1% NPLs at the end of the first quarter of the year, we closed the year at 3.8%, the best portfolio quality for the product since we started the previous aggressive growth period in 2013. However, as a natural consequence of a portfolio control strategy, this product didn't grow as it was expected during 2014. The second reason that explains the portfolio gap is related with the Mexican context and its impact in the group lending segment. As we all know, after a year of slowdown in the consumer activity in Mexico, the demand of credit was smaller than expected. And even when we improve our share of wallet and the average loan per customer increased by 10%, the 4.3% of growth in net customers is an indicator of a lower consumer activity. It is interesting to observe that at the same time, we increased our market share in the group lending segment from 41% to 42% on a year-to-year basis. We are proud to say that our NPLs continue being an outstanding reference for the microcredit business. With a 3.28%, we have one of the lower NPLs levels among our competitors. We have said that 4 to 6% will be the reference to maintain a healthy total portfolio for the following years if we consider both group and individual lending methodology. In any case, we are clearly in the bottom range of this limit. And talking about microinsurance business, in Mexico, 67% of our Crédito Mujer customers have an insurance product. And for Crédito Comerciante, we doubled the number of clients with an insurance product, reaching at 25% by the end of the year. For Crédito Individual customers, the figure was stable during the year with a 21% of our customers with an insurance product. In 2013, we also started offering microinsurances in Guatemala and Peru, and we ended the year with 3.5 million active life insurance policies to our operations in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala. And regarding our savings project, we are in the final steps to fine-tune and deploy our new savings core system on the SAP platform. This will enable us to run the over 120,000 saving accounts that we have in Veracruz pilot under the new platform and start the integration effort to solve the entire saving offer ecosystem, including transactional channels that will allow customers to transact their accounts more efficiently through the different channels at Yastas, owned transactional branches, ATMs, and traditional third-party channels. The testing of the integrated ecosystem will begin by the end of this year. As of December 2014, we closed with 635 branches in the three countries, which means a net growth of 58 locations. In Mexico, we increased 44 branches based on our market penetration strategy, and in Peru, we grew 14 branches based on an expansion strategy for Crédito Mujer. And just to point out the status of our Integra project, we have been operating smoothly with our new credit SAP core system since we fully concluded the implementation by last September. Finally, we foresee 2015 with optimism. Market segment knowledge, customer service, product improvements, and a wider product offer will continue to be the core of our strategy and actions. As we already communicated, our expectations for 2015 is to grow between 15 and 17% our total portfolio. Again, thank you for your interest in Gentera results, and let me now open the space for Patricio, who will go into the financial figures for the group.
Thank you, Enrique. I will briefly review Gentera's full year results before we go into the Q&A session. As we mentioned before, every expectation in terms of our guidance figures are for the full year results. And as such, the comparisons I will make reflect the entire seasonality of the business during the period of one full year. In 2014, interest income increased by 14.8%, in line with Gentera's portfolio growth. The yield of Gentera's portfolio stood at 66.3% for the year. Interest expense for 2014 stood at 822 million pesos, a slight increase of 0.5% in comparison with 2013, despite a 12.6% increase in the liabilities. This improvement in interest expense was mainly due to the fact that Gentera's largest subsidiary, Banco Compartamos, has enjoyed the benefit of a low interest rate environment during the second half of the year and is currently funding the operation below 4%. As a result, net interest margin for the full year reached 53.6% compared with the 52.6% in 2013, an increase of 1 percentage point. Provision for loan losses were 1.7 billion pesos for the full year, only 5.2% increase when compared with 2013. The slight increase in provision is a reflection of a strong asset quality throughout the product lines. NIM after provisions increased by 17.4% in 2014, in line with portfolio growth. It's important to highlight that asset quality again showed excellent results per product category, and every product is within or below the ranges we have mentioned in the past. Consolidated NPL stood at 3.28%, reflecting a slight increase versus the previous year that is explained by the portfolio mix, in which Crédito Comerciante is becoming more relevant in the figures. Commissions and fee income increased 16% during 2014 compared to the previous year, reaching 883 million. The increase mainly reflects late payment fees generated at Banco Compartamos, fees generated at Yastas and Aterna, and commissions generated and at Compartamos Financiera in Peru. For the full year 2014, commission and fee expense increased 8.4% versus the previous year. These expenses included fees charged by third parties as well as fee costs related to the operations of Yastas. The net effect for the company continues to expand as fee business integrated to the operation. Other operating income for the full year was a negative 77 million pesos, an increase versus the negative 44 million pesos reported in 2013. Among other concepts, these line items reflect non-recurring income or expense driven by donations and expenses associated with the recovery of delinquent loans. Operating expenses for the full year increased 17.4% compared with 2013. Salaries and benefits represented 63.5% of operating expenses. With regard to our 635 service offices located in Mexico, Guatemala, and Peru, this represented 17.5% of operating expenses, and the strategic projects related to IT, pilot projects, and network management represented other 17.5%. Marketing and special campaigns were 1.5% for the year. As such, efficiency ratio stood at 65.7%, which is a similar ratio of the to the 65.8% reached in 2013. This efficiency ratio is in line with the mid-60s range that we have been guiding in the past. Operating income grew by 18.1% during 2014 in comparison with the previous year. Gentera's reported net income of 3,162,000,000 pesos, 1.92 EPS, achieved during 2014. This reflects an increase of 39.2% versus 2013. This figure includes recurring and non-recurring earnings for the year. As you might remember, in 2014, we experienced a fiscal benefit of 526 million pesos, which are non-recurring earnings for the sale of written off loans of previous years. As such, recurring net income was 2,636 million pesos, or 1.60 EPS, which is above the high end of our guidance of 159 for the year and represents 16% growth in the recurring net income when compared to the 2013 figures. This is now for me now. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready for the Q&A. Operator?
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star two. Again, to ask a question, please press star one. Our first question comes from Gustavo Lobo from BTG Pactual.
Hi, everyone. I have a question about administrative expenses. According to your release, about 20% of operating expenses in the fourth quarter were related to strategic projects. And you mentioned that going into 2015, you foresee improving efficiency coming from growing revenues. So I'd just like to understand what should be the trend for administrative expenses in the medium term, especially as this project gets concluded and as the bank continues growing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gustavo. This is Patricio. As Carlos mentioned in his speech, we have been investing a lot in technology, in marketing, in new products. So it's not necessarily the focus of the company of cut expenses as such, but deliver faster growth in income to proportionally have a lower efficiency going forward. Today, we think that this year still the guidance that we have been giving of mid-60s for the efficiency should remain. and gradually in the medium term start to come down to the low 60s range, but this is like a medium term goal for the company. So strategic projects will remain, investments in technology, and as such, I mean, we'll see the benefits in the future.
Yeah, Gustavo, and this is Enrique Majos. I think that one of those expenses that we will be looking at during this year that Patrice is referring to, and it's very important, at least strategically, from a strategically point of view, is a marketing strategy that we are developing for our lending methodology clients. As we have talked before in several occasions, the group lending products are more or less like a commodity in the market now, and we need a clear differentiator in the business, which we have a lot of competitors around us. So with SAP, we have now the capacity to identify and recognize the behavior for each customer individually, and that's just a very good advantage that we are taking now, and we are working on a marketing strategy in which we will recognize the loyalty of our customers, we will recognize the credit behavior individually of our customers, and we will be able to expose Compartamos product offer in the media in a more aggressive way. And with this, I think we will accomplish and we will be able to reach better customer retention, better asset quality, or at least maintain the asset quality that we have today and that we believe is very good. And we also will be actually able to attract more customers, which is one of the main focus for the 2015.
Thanks. That's clear. I have a second question, actually, about asset quality. And what's the scenario that you are foreseeing for NPLs in the short to medium term? You mentioned that you expect to work within a range and you're close to the bottom of this range. Does it mean that you are expecting some small growth going forward, or should we expect stability in that front? Thank you.
Yes, Gustavo, this is Enrique again. Yes, as we have mentioned before, we expect to move in the range between 4 and 6% in our NPLs for the future years. And we believe that maybe in a more competitive market, slightly, but we will be looking at very tiny increasing movements in the NPLs. However, I believe that it's very important to give context to all this NPL situation. As we pointed out, we believe that the NPLs level that we have now are very good. We have a very healthy portfolio. We have an outstanding NPLs compared not only with ourselves but with our competitors. And going product by product, I can tell you that in Credit Individual, figures are clearly in a decreasing trend if we observe the behavior of this indicator along the last 2 years. In Crédito Mujer, we are in a 1.56% NPL, which refers to a really healthy quality despite the ups and downs that we constantly have in the dynamic of this business. And maybe to explain Crédito Comerciante, which is the product that has had the more strong move from quarter to quarter, it is important to remember the principle that we have been talking about before. This is that in the microcredit business, we constantly move from a growing to a controlling situation, and then we go back to a growing situation. So, as you can observe, Crédito Comerciante portfolio grew this year 45% during 2014, which is a very important increase. Therefore, NPLs moved because of lots of new customers, which typically bring higher NPLs in the first cycle. However, moving from a 3.9% at the end of 2013, and I'm talking about Crédito Comerciante specifically, to a 3.4 at the end of last year, and now having a 4.3% at the end of this year, is definitely a normal behavior, and we are in line with our 3 to 5% guide for the NPLs level in the group lending methodology. So I believe that this can bring a broader vision of the NPLs and how they will move in the future.
Thanks. Just to be clear then, for Comerciante, you are comfortable with current levels and it should be somewhat stable at the levels that they are at this point. For individual, it has still some room to trend down a little bit, and for Crédito Mujer, it's already at very good level, so there might be room for a slight increase in that. Is that right?
Yeah, for Crédito Comerciante, we believe we will be between 3 and 5%, which are our guide limits.
Great, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jose Barria from Bank of America.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Congratulations on a good year. And I want to have a couple questions about the quarter because obviously the trends were sort of, I guess, more disappointing than what we were expecting. The first one is on loan growth. You know, the second half of the year has historically tended to be a very good part of the year seasonally for demand. But in this case, this year, we saw actually decline in loan growth, particularly in Mexico during the fourth quarter. I understand that you're saying consumer demand has been weak in Mexico, but that has been the case all year, and you had been able to post very good growth. Is there anything that you're seeing now happening more recently that is leading to softer demand for loans? That would be the first question.
Okay, yes, as I mentioned in the first part of the call, we believe that we didn't meet the 17% of portfolio growth, mainly because of two reasons. One of them was that we were in a controlling strategy stage in Crédito Individual, which obviously limited a lot the growth for the entire portfolio, and the other one was the slowdown in the economy. And we believe that during this year, our marketing strategies will help to fight against this slowdown and maybe be able to break the trend that we had in last year. At the end, we truly believe in the guide that we have given, which is 15 to 17% growth for this 2015.
I see. Do you think that, so going back to your point on marketing, so you said in the release that marketing expenses were 5.4% of total expenses in the quarter. Do you have any information on what that usually has been in other quarters or maybe in other, fourth quarters, just to get an idea of how much more, it grew, given that you're trying to use this maybe to drum up some more demand?
Yeah, I mean, and thank you, Jose. Normally, the fourth quarter, it's in terms of marketing, always busy. As you pointed out, it's the strongest or has been the strongest quarter every year in terms of portfolio demand. We did a stronger efforts again in terms of marketing to foster again portfolio growth, and this is why it's a stronger than in the past expense in terms of marketing. In the past, that should represent around 0.5% of the expenses. Today, it was 1.5 for this quarter alone.
I see. And do you expect that you might have to continue to spend more in marketing sort of to keep or maybe to reach the level that you think that you will grow this year?
I mean, yes, the campaign is full up and running and will remain in the entire 2014. Of course, it's part of, it's included in the guidance that we've provided. So it will propel portfolio as well as income, as Enrique mentioned in the past.
Got it. And then finally, given that you've seen some deterioration in the Crédito Comerciante product, and you know, in the past when Crédito Individual deteriorated, you moved to a control, you know, pattern, like you mentioned. Can we expect that you might be moving into a control pattern situation in Crédito Comerciante, or you're not that concerned at this point with the asset quality level, understanding that it's within the ranges that you've provided? But wanted to know if this is, you know, the deterioration that we're seeing somehow changes your appetite for growth there?
No, and let me jump into that one. As we mentioned, every product category is within or below the ranges that we talked about. So we feel comfortable with the asset quality of Crédito Comerciante. Actually, it's the product that will grow the fastest during 2014, and this is not a concern for us. But again, as Enrique mentioned in his speech, in microfinance you grow and then control. So we are now in a growing stage in that product category. We wouldn't be concerned if at some point NPL catches up and then we need to control. But it's something that we will monitor and report on a per quarter basis.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Patricio. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Our next question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking questions. Question a little bit on the competition side. You mentioned earlier that it's a very competitive market for the group lending. It's almost a commodity now. That you're going to emphasize marketing in order to break that spell, and also technology in order to get there. How does that talk to your 13-17% growth guidance for 2015? Do you expect to gain market share during the year? Is that something that will happen through these advances, or will the IT investments only start bearing fruit later on? And as a result, this is going to be more of a traditional effort for Compartamos Bank.
I mean, the portfolio growth, again, 15-17%, it's the guidance. We still see a market opportunity out there. The fastest growth product will be Crédito Comerciante. Again, it's the same methodology than the group lending Crédito Mujer. Not necessarily a different market segment. However, it addresses men and unlocks an attractive market potential. So the competitive landscape, as we mentioned, is still very competitive, but on a region per region basis, we don't see a strong competition from larger players as we saw in the past. So we really think that we are in a strong position to grow this year and do it with quality.
Yeah, and let me add something there, Carlos. If we stick to our 15-17% this year, we believe that we will remain in a very strong position within our markets. And we believe that at least we will maintain our same market share, if not increase it, which is a very, very possible scenario.
So just to make it clear, so you think that potentially you'll get a slight increase in market share, maybe going from 41-42% or something like that?
Yeah, it depends on what other competitors grow, but I think that our guide to grow 15-17% is a very good peak.
Okay, so the market will probably grow less than what you are growing, essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Is there any concern with, this was something that we spoke about a few years ago when Azteca was pushing in. Is there any concern with saturation of the women's product at all at this point, given, you know, some of the difficulties in growing when the economy slowed?
This is Carlos. Hi, Carlos. I don't think there's a specific worry with saturation. Like Patricio has said, one of the things that Compartamos has been able to do through time is to better differentiate micro markets and understand where some, you know, micro markets are better served than others. The fact that we've been growing with our group lending product, specifically with Crédito Mujer, for over 20 years makes it not only that we've attracted competition into that segment, but also that we better serve that market. So a lot of the growth that continues to happen in that market is what Enrique had referred to, where there is more of a market opportunity because we're less present and the competition is less present. But in a lot of the more mature markets, what we're doing is a lot of our clients have a couple, if not three, accounts with different microfinance lenders, and part of the strategy is to consolidating those loans into our own portfolio. And as you can see, it's not really an issue of asset quality because, again, like Enrique has pointed out, Crédito Mujer itself has an exceptional good credit quality. So these are clients that are willing and able to pay. But, again, that we're increasing our share of wallet by offering them better service, better product, and the fact that they don't have to deal with maybe two or three different MFIs, but rather just work with one, and us being the leaders in that space.
Okay. Thank you. Just a couple follow-ups on that. First, that's going to be done via the SAP and the IT investments, but would it also lead to maybe more, a greater amount of expenses given the additional efforts to bring those people in? And second, maybe one of the just bouncing an idea here, maybe one of the reasons why Crédito Mujer has such a successful track record in NPLs is because everybody wants to pay Crédito Mujer, but maybe these customers aren't quite as diligent in paying the other accounts, the other loans that they have. And if you try to roll all of the loans in, would it be reasonable to say that it could lead to an impact on NPL quality or the asset quality for these new loans, for the overall
business? I think conceptually, pushing for growth always increases risk appetite. So again, like Enrique has mentioned many times, growth stages tend to come with an increase in NPLs, which is something that we expect and that we believe that it's within control. But specifically to the question of consolidating debt, one of the things that I think is also a great advance in the past few years is the credit bureaus in Mexico have increasingly better client information. As of now, we're able to know when a client has other accounts with other competitors, and we also know if those accounts are on time or not. So we're able to do to make very well-informed decisions of which debt we want to consolidate and the actual level of indebtedness of clients. So again, this because there is that available information and we're able to process it, client debt consolidation shouldn't bring itself specifically higher NPLs. Again, conceptually, growth brings higher NPLs, but that's something to expect and to control.
Okay, thank you for your answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nicolau Lippmann from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call and for taking my questions. I have three questions. So I made a bit of a follow-up question, I think, on the two prior questions on growth, then on some of the strategic stuff, and then finally on the loyalty program. On the follow-up question, when I look at your results, maybe more than loan growth, the growth of 3% in clients, definitely down on a sequential basis, makes me wonder what are the issues that you're really having there in terms of, and I appreciate your cross-setting ratio and how it's going up, but what are the issues in terms of trying to reach new clients? Considering all the new products that you have, one would expect a much higher growth in the number of clients. And also, could you address that and also maybe talk a little bit about 15, how much of that will, of the guidance imply new clients and how much of it will be to existing? So that's question number one. Sorry, it's long. Question number two, can you update us a bit on the strategic initiatives, such as mobile banking, the deposits? When will we be able to see more meaningful numbers there? And finally, on the U.S. transfer business, the remittances. And then, number three, the loyalty program, and pardon my ignorance. when you do a loyalty program, it's kind of like a discount, and you cut a week out. Why is it a cost, not a discount, that goes on the revenue side? I don't know if I'm expressing myself. Those are the questions. Thanks.
Okay, regarding the growth, basically everything is summarized in what we have mentioned. I think the challenge to grow is mainly in two things. First of all, a more competitive environment and more institutions offering credit to customers. And on the other hand, a slowdown in the economy. And I think that those two elements explain very well why, at least this last year, we had a between 3 and 4% increase in our customer base.
And Nikolai, on the second question, in terms of the strategic initiatives, let me share that. I mean, for savings, as you know, we've been working on developing savings products for a bit of time now, and to do so requires certain pieces to be in place. One of them being, the outlets or the banking correspondents where, you know, we can provide a convenient deposit and withdrawal service for our clients. And that, like I've mentioned in my speech, Jastas has made great advancements on that front. We currently have, 2,000 outlets in the areas that we're working with. And we've learned a lot in terms of dealing with those financial transactions, making them regulatory compliant. So by the end of last year, we had a significant amount of those kinds of transactions, which was a great achievement if you compare it to 2013, where we only had these sites in place but were not able to do financial transactions. So that piece is increasingly taking shape. The other piece that we needed to have in place was to have a core banking system that would allow us to manage savings accounts. And again, that was partly why we invested in SAP. The first phase of SAP, which is 100% rolled out, as we've mentioned, is the lending side. But we expect to have the deposit side also rolled out this year. So, in the coming days, we'll transfer the existing accounts that we have into the SAP savings platform. So we're very optimistic that we'll have the kind of the backbone and the IT necessary to be able to move forward in savings. And the last piece that needs to be in place is the products themselves. And what we've done in the past is mostly test our savings products with our existing lending clients. And one of the things that we're planning to do in 2015 is to introduce products for the open market. That is still for the base of the pyramid segment in Mexico, but not specifically to clients that already have a loan in Compartamos. So those three pieces will work together throughout 2015. We expect to open up a similar number of accounts of the number that we have right now throughout the year. So it'll still be fairly contained and still within a pilot phase. But again, I think this is the year where kind of the prototype might all take shape. And then in 2016, based on the results we get in 2015, we'll figure out if we can scale up and massify faster or where we stand there. Specifically on Intermex, as I mentioned, Intermex is also a very interesting piece, not only on the product side, but also on the transaction side. And it gives us a first presence also in the U.S. market in terms of remittance business. Like I mentioned on my speech, we're still awaiting the regulatory requirements or the approvals from the CNBV to be able to close on that transaction. We expect that to happen by late first quarter of this year. And once we do, we'll start the integration process, which, again, will take a few months of 2015. And then we'll start implementing, most surely after this year, all the different, strategies and all the different integration
strategies that we envision for Intermex. And the other and last piece of kind of strategic investments that you mentioned, which is kind of the innovation front using mobile technology, electronic payments, and so on. We have many experiments going on currently. We've mentioned in the past our investment in online lending through MiMoney. So these are all very early stage investments and early stage experiments, again, that we believe that in the medium to long term need to transform what we do into a more of a digital economy. Again, this won't happen in order of magnitude of fast way. We believe that there are steps in doing this. Our business model is currently a very labor-intensive model, and it'll become less labor-intensive through time and eventually become more digital, but it'll be gradual, and it'll take, a good number of years to get there.
And in terms of the loyalty program, Nikolai, yes, you're right. The rationale behind it is to recognize good customers, to allow them to get better terms and conditions when you add up the rate that they pay plus the benefit that they get. But structuring that way in giving back their last payment allow us to have greater flexibility. As you know, in microfinance, every effort that we made needs to go through a trial and error effort. So it's much easier to bring marketing efforts in and out of the market rather than touching the rate per se. But the goal is clearly what you mentioned. We want to have good customers, better terms and conditions that differentiate us from the competition. But the idea is to see how this rolls out during the year, and we can play that in and out if it's structured as a marketing campaign.
Thanks. Just Patricio, why is it booked as a cost and not a discount on pricing?
In the accounting principle requires us to register that as an operating expense related to marketing efforts.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from BBVA Bank.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. With your recurrent net profit in 2014, can we expect a net profit growth between 17 and 20% in 2015? Which will be your recurrent ROE range behind your net profit guidance? And almost in March, how did you perceive the beginning of the year for Gentera? On the other hand, what are you expecting in terms of cost of risk? And finally, with the possibility of an interest rate hike, are you evaluating to do a hedge this year? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ernesto. In terms of the guidance, yes, with the recurrent, if you only talk about the recurrent business, yes, it's at 17 to 20% and growth year over year, the guidance that we posted out. How we see the year next week, you'll see January results. And clearly will show the first step of heading towards that direction. So we feel comfortable with the guidance that we provided and shouldn't be a concern at this point. In terms of an event of interest rate hike, you should take into consideration that in 2014, the first half of the year, we had a 50 bps higher cost of funds during that semester. If a hike happens during the second half of this year, in terms of cost of funds for the company, when you compare a year over year, shouldn't be something that moves the needle dramatically. Yes, we have been considering in hedging the variable liabilities that we have, mostly the bonds, the long-term bonds. However, the cost of doing so, it's not something that that interests us today, right? We are constantly monitoring how the hedge look, and this is something that we will do over the year, but at the cost that it's today, it doesn't make sense at all to hedge the liability.
Thank you very much. And in terms of your cost of risk, and the other question was related to your recurrent ROE range behind your net profit guidance.
Okay. The ROE, I mean, we guided last 2 years back the mid-20s range is something that we think that we still can deliver. The guidance in terms of net income growth will support that mid-20s ROE, so this is something that you should consider for this year. And in terms of cost of risk, of course, we need to the provision expense is around 175-190% of NPL, so we expect around 3.5% NPL for the year. So the cost of risk for the year should move from 7.5% to 8% of the portfolio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris Delgado from J.P. Morgan.
Thanks for taking my questions. I just had two quick questions. One relates to fee income. Fee income was actually up about 45%, I believe, year on year. And I know you guys had been guiding for about $30 to $40 million a quarter, but that seems to be a little bit light given the performance so far. So could you talk a little bit about your expectations for fees and what's continued to drive the outperformance there? And then my second question just relates to the tax rate. It was a bit low this quarter. Could you remind us what the driver was there for low tax rate and then what you expect for 2015 taxes?
Okay. The fee income, it's threefold. First, it's fees that delinquent customers need to pay in order to reestablish their loans with Banco Compartamos. So that's the bulk of that line item. So as delinquency move up, that fee income should grow as well. The second leg of that line is the fees generated by Aterna. And the fees that the micro insurance product brings to the table. And finally, the fees that Jasta generates. But the most important line item in that is related to the fee expense related to, no, to the fee income for delinquent customers. So as we see the NPL going up in per product category, mostly in Crédito Comerciante, that should still growing faster than the interest, than the fee expense. And on the tax front, yes, it will, 2014, the tax benefit that we had allow us to have a lower than expected tax rate for the full year. We were ranging 25%. We expect that to normalize in 2015. You should expect something around 34% for this year, again, talking about the full year figures.
Got you. And then just going back to the fees, I mean, what's your expected growth? Is it similar at such a high rate, or is it going to be something closer to flat, or kind of what's your expectation for fees?
No, it will continue to outpace the growth in portfolio, right? Something around 25% is something that we see for this year at least.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Boris Molina from Santander.
Yes, thank you. My question is regarding some details about your marketing plan. Could you tell us a little bit about what control mechanisms you have embedded into the plan in order to be able to track whether the clients that you are bringing on board and this consolidation strategy is actually not going to lead to a surge in asset quality, because this is a very interesting experiment to see whether the credit bureaus are actually starting to work or not. But what kind of early indicator or flags have you set up in order to make sure that you don't go to a huge growth phase and then you have to slam the brakes We've talked in the past about this whiplash we have with the bank in terms of growth and control, and this might lead to another particularly strong phase.
Yes, hi, Boris. This is Carlos. So, again, you've mentioned credit bureaus, so we now have better information. That information is not perfect. One of the things that came about and we spoke about last year on the financial reform was the requirement for all professional lenders to actually report to the credit bureau. That is a work in progress. But we now have, at least for the major competitors, I think, a much better idea of, you know, who is indebted to what level and what the credit quality is there. So any time that we disperse a loan, we actually look at credit bureau information and make a decision partly based on that. But I would say that the core thing is that, as you might remember in our business model, the center of the business model is what we call the loan officer or the promotor de crédito. And they themselves have a very performance-driven incentive scheme in which credit quality plays a big, big role. So it is in the best interest of loan officers, even as they grow, that they maintain credit quality. So again, we, you know, this is essentially what we've been doing for the past 25 years. So we're very, very knowledgeable on how to tweak those variables and how to control asset quality. And again, like I mentioned in my speech, I think one of the things that distinguished Gentera is good quality assets, and that's something that we're committed to. That also, again, is within the context that growth requires a risk appetite, and that we've guided for a 46% NPL ratio, and we're still at the low end of that. So one, I think, shouldn't be surprised or alarmed if NPLs grow as we grow the portfolio. I think that is to be expected, and again, that the cost for doing that is built in within the margins of the product. But, you know, the incentives for the loan officers, the information that we look for when we make loan decisions, I think it all plays into helping us, again, have outstanding credit quality.
And just to talk about the mechanics of the program, Boris, in order to get the benefit, you need to be on time. 100% of the time you need to pay on time, the 15 weeks before. Secondly, you need to ask for additional money either in different products or with your own credit that you already have. And thirdly, you need to reference customers. So all of it reinforces the marketing efforts and the expectation process that it needed to bring more customers to the state.
And how do you plan to ensure that that when you're consolidating these loans, the proceeds are actually used to pay other institution loans and not to increase the level of indebtedness beyond what is reasonable?
The same way we've done it in the past, Boris, and that is, I mean, through our relationship and our knowledge with the clients. In fact, what we look at in our credit methodology, the credit methodology is built in to actually allow us to, you know, evaluate the credit quality of the client and to evaluate their level of debt. And whereas in the past we didn't have full disclosure within the credit bureaus of the level of debt, now we do. So we're in a better position now than we were in the past in terms of actually assessing clients' ability to pay. So again, that's all what we've been doing for many, many years in terms of the implementation of our credit methodology to assess the risk. And it's not very different from what we've done. Essentially, it is different that now we have better information to make those decisions.
And let's just remember that the group lending, especially the group lending methodology, is a very unique methodology in terms of the very strong participation that the client has on the credit assessment and the responsibility that each of them have within the payment or default of the other members of the group. So that's a very natural control that there is immersed in the group, and that always has helped us to control very closely this risk, as Carlos was mentioning.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last and final question will come from Silvia Vicchio from Itaú Asset Management.
Hi, good morning. Can you give us an update on the projects that you're working with the development banks for lending guarantees?
Okay. Yes, Silvia, this is Patricio. As we mentioned in the past, we have been, after the financial reforms, we have been closely working with development banks, mostly NAFIN and FIRA, in order to establish guarantees for individual lending products. And in terms of FIRA, for loans originated in zones that are eligible for FIRA's proceeds. So today we have over 4 billion pesos guaranteed with FIRA. That allows us to grow the portfolio and share part of that risk with this development bank. We expect to continue with this pilot still for both FIRA and us in terms of guarantees and see how it evolves during 2015. So today we have more than 4 billion pesos of our loan portfolio guaranteed by FIRA. This will certainly cover part of the cost of growing.
And the results so far leave you encouraged that this project can be increased, this pilot project can be increased? And is this part of your guidance, both in terms of growth and in terms of asset quality, this growing the program or the current program that you have with FIRA?
No, to be honest, it's not something that, since it's still in the pilot phase, is not something that we have even talked with, internally. The thing is that we will continue to guarantee the portfolio. The thing is that the results, they will pay us after the loans are written off. So first, the loans that we have already guaranteed from November till today need to go delinquent to 90 days and then be written off at 180 days. So the first result that we'll see, it will be by October this year. So this is why we don't expect something meaningful for 2015, and this is not something that is included in the 2015 guidance. We will see how it evolves, how the results are for this, and whether we will continue with this guarantee program for 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you, Silvia.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Carlos Danel for closing remarks.
Again, thank you for participating in this fourth quarter of 2014 call. We look forward to speaking to you on our next quarterly conference call, in which we'll discuss the first quarter of 2015. Again, we're excited for a good year and things to come within Gentera. Thank you, and good day.